Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Hello, and welcome to episode 230 of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. We're here today with Antonis Vagontsis, scientific manager of the PASOK Andreas Papandreou Institute in Greece. He is the former director of the legal office of the Greek Prime Minister Andreas Papandreou from 1993 to 1996. PASOK stands for the Pan-Hellenic Socialist Movement. He's a former candidate for the Greek Parliament representing the PASOK party throughout the past few decades. He is an attorney and a scientific advisor for Athens University's School of Law and is a former secretary for the Greek Ministries of Health and Public Works for the entire nation of Greece. Antonis is a former special advisor for cabinet secretaries over the course of the past four decades. He drafted 200 Greek laws and is a former chairman of the Committee on Judicial Cooperation and Extradition between the United States of America and the European Union. Antonis, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
Thank you for the opportunity you are giving to me. I would like to have a communication to your own audience, and I should say, I guess the most of them must be young, but not very young.
Well, I think everyone is going to be very pleased to have this opportunity to listen to a former Greek cabinet secretary. So if you would, Antonis, allow me to ask you my first question, which is, what are you currently doing, or what have you ever done to advance the public interest, and why?
Yeah, see, nowadays I am the senior attorney of a group of 32 lawyers. I work in Athens and all over Greece.
Sure.
Parallelly, I serve as a high-level person, and in the area of socialist and social democratic ideas, I am the scientific manager of ISTAME Andreas Papandreou. This is an institution directly connected to PASOK.
So you have quite a fabulous history over quite a tumultuous latter half of the 20th century in Greece. You've seen the fall of a monarchy, the rise and then fall of a military dictatorship. You went through a coup. Such an interesting story that has led to you being here today in Heraklion, Crete, but having an illustrious career throughout government service. I'd like to ask you if you could take our listeners from the very beginning about your political involvement and how that led to where we are today. So how did you initially get involved in Greek politics?
First of all, as a demonstrator. from the first ages that I do remember of myself. It was just before dictatorship, between the years 1967 and 1974. We were fighting for democracy in the classes, inside our classes in university, outside our classes and seminars of our university. We were fighting for democracy, even before dictatorship, because the state of the political affairs of that time were not so clear-cut. We had the experience of a civil war, and after civil wars, not all the democratic institutions are working according to their own traditional standards.
So for our listeners who don't know, when was the Civil War?
between 1946 and 1949.
So right around the time that you were born?
No, I was born in 1946.
Okay.
But after the end of the Civil War, the things were very easy. They were not very easy.
You were just coming out of World
because
War
we
II.
Had the communists did not accept their defeat. The communists had declared that they wanted to continue their fight against the legal authorities of Greece.
And the communists had been instrumental in the resistance movement in Greece against the Nazi occupation. But then due to the Yalta Conference, Stalin gave Greece to the Western powers and said that
They did not accept it.
Yeah.
And that's why I think they started all the small and big fights of a civil war.
So
after the end of the civil war, not only human rights were exercised, we had parliamentarian life. The parliament worked and operated. But there were areas that could not be controlled by parliament. Let's say the army, the secret services, police.
Who controlled those? The king?
Ultra-rightists were controlling it.
Interesting. And then let's ground the story back in the days of you being a student in the late 60s.
Yeah.
So you said there were...
I was a member of the youth movement that belonged to the Center Union.
Uh-huh. What was the problem? You said you wanted more democracy in a university?
More democracy. We wanted democracy.
What was wrong? You're going to class and you weren't able to choose your classes?
We wanted to have the exercise of all human rights. That was our goal. And also
you mean throughout the country, not directly, not being limited to what was happening on the university campus, but throughout Greece.
Yeah, and we had also expressed some demands, let's say. We wanted to have not only the basic studies, but even the university studies. We wanted them without paying any.
Wanted publicly funded higher education.
Yeah, yeah. that was our goal because.
Did you win? Does Greece have that now?
We do have it. Of course, there are some negative sides, but. I think we do have it.
Huh.
And during dictatorship, we demonstrated openly.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, I became attorney.
Yeah.
And then I started undertaking the demands, the political goals of the students. First of all, we demanded to have free elections in our unions.
You mean for student government on campus, or you mean around the whole nation?
No.
Just
in
free
campus.
Elections for students?
Yeah. Of course, later,
the government
we
opposed
added... the government opposed it in a very strong, in a vehemently way.
And they killed a few students, didn't they?
Yeah.
They brought tanks on
campus. I was the lawyer of the young students.
Huh.
And then... I was arrested. Together, my brother Alekos Gonzas, who is professor in Penn State University.
You went on to become a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
But at the time, she was 19.
At the time, she was a very young student, and they arrested him.
And you? For what?
Just to punish.
For organizing students?
Yeah. Not technically organizing, but ideologically organizing.
Did you break any laws?
What?
Did you break any laws?
Sì, Alekos was kept in the headquarter of military police for 3 years, and then
3 years in prison.
Three months. But he was sent also to the army. They didn't let him continue in his studies in medicine. I stayed in.
And you were in prison.
Yeah, me too. At the same about time.
And it didn't treat you well.
Not at all. But Alekos was treated in a very brutal way.
Worse. Why did they let you go?
Because they wanted to punish me according to their own estimations. I was one of the protagonists of that movement.
You're one of the leaders. So they wanted to make it
because I was speaking to foreign press, I was speaking to foreign radios. At the end, it was very difficult to distinguish between elections in Campos and elections all over the Greece.
Why did they let you and Alex go? Why didn't they keep you in prison? Why only 3 months?
I was kept for 5 months, just to treat me brutally and then to neutralize my will.
To neutralize you.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but then that dictatorship ended up falling, right?
Yeah, after some months, dictatorship collapsed.
So we're setting all this up for our listeners who may not know too much about Greek history. So there's some interesting contextual background, but I want our listeners to know how much you have gone through, Antonis. You began as a teenager organizing on campus in Athens, and then you ended up going to prison. You were tortured and brutalized in prison, and your younger brother was as well. And then ironically, once they finished torturing him, they made him serve the very regime that had hurt him so much through military service. And that's just in your teens and 20s. And then as you get older, you continue to find persecution and difficulties. Now you've been around for quite some time and you're still involved as a candidate. You're still running for office. I just wanted our listeners to know that you are somebody who has sacrificed a lot to try to advance your idea of the public interest for Greece.
See, first of all, I would like to inform you that when we had the experience of new democratic rules in our own country, the day was 24 July 1974, and from the first day I was fighting for a new goal.
That was the end of the dictatorship in 1974?
We were fighting for a very good institutional goal. The dictators and their collaborators should be punished. And many of them, they were punished.
They were?
See.
You mean they were incarcerated?
By juries, by courts.
So they went to jail?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
See, the dictator did as well?
The dictator, first of all,
they
were punished. Papadopoulos.
Papadopoulos was the name of the dictator for 7 years.
Yeah.
And how did he die? Natural?
I think some 3-4 years ago. But all his life, all his rest life, he was in prison. And I think we succeeded in having a new reality.
What was that new reality?
All dictators should not sleep in their bedroom. All of them, they must die in prison. We have been punishing also the ones that were using brutalities.
So I have a question for you, Antonius. Just to
and I was the lawyer of the whole thing.
So, but just to contextualize all this, because you were there, a lot of our listeners, as you mentioned, may be millennials, may have been born after the 60s. Mm. And even people born in the 60s, I think, you know, if you look at what the world looked like then, there was a Cold War, and the United States and the USSR were the superpowers. And you had the rise of all these dictators around the world, in Africa, in the Mediterranean, in the Balkans, in South America, from Chile to Libya to Yugoslavia to Romania to Albania to Spain. You had so many dictators all around the world. Of course, you've seen a decline of these dictators in the early 21st century. To what would you attribute the rise of all these dictators in the post-colonial, post-World War II era?
See, I think we were the first state and the first nation that declared in front of the history. Mm-hmm. From now on, whoever violates the human rights, whoever attempts any coup against democratic rules and state, he must have consequences and penalties. Mm-hmm. See, Spain was under Franco for many decades. Then they passed very smoothly to democracy. Mm-hmm. No one was punished.
And do you think that was a mistake?
Yes.
Hmm. And also in Turkey you had a military coup.
Yes, but in Turkey we have a little bit, the things are a little bit confusing.
Well, let's return to a focus on Greece and you. So back in Greece, so all of this came to pass, and then we hit the 1990s, and all of a sudden you're very close to the prime minister of Greece. You're in his cabinet as his chief legal advisor. And then from there you ended up becoming a cabinet secretary for subsequent administrations. And then, of course, you've run for parliament. So how is it that you even came to meet Andreas Papandreou?
See, the Greek, the American opinion about Andreas Papandreou, as far as I know, is not very positive.
Why?
They think in America that he has been a populist. Mm-hmm. Sorry. The Greek state, Greece itself, is not the same Greece that started going on at the beginning of the 80s. Mm-hmm. And the Greek state, and Greece itself, that was delivered to us after 20 years, is not the same. We are a brand new country with many, many positive things. Of course, we have also some cancer, institutional cancer, in many areas of our life, our public life. But the main fact remains, Greece is a brand new country. We have all the institutions, we have all the democratic institutions,
right.
We do have all the human rights, we experience, we enjoy all the human rights, and we do not have a police state, we have a free state and a free society. Mm-hmm. Of course, we have some problems with the ethics of some politicians, we have some other problems that there is a general populism, that is, people demand more and more than they produce, and nowadays we are facing the most destructive financial and an economical crisis that we have had, ever had.
So Greece is part of the European Union, and of course, last summer in 2016, we experienced Brexit, or at least a vote on Brexit that Britain would leave. But a few years before that, there was a financial crisis with Greece, mm-hmm. where there were a lot of, I guess, there's a lot of concern that there might be a Grexit. Greece would leave the European Union. It didn't come to pass to date, but Greece is still has undergone a lot of austerity measures coming out of Germany and coming out of Brussels, the seat of the European mm-hmm. Union. Can you speak about, I guess, why Greece is not able to pay for the services that it provides, why they're not able to collect the revenues from the people, and what led to this crisis?
See, the truth is very simple. We spend more than we could produce. And it came the time mm-hmm. that we were not able even to pay back our loans. Mm-hmm. That was a big mistake of special and quite concrete politicians.
And you had been advising many different cabinet secretaries and ministers.
At that time, I was disagreeing. I was writing. I have written some books also. And in one of them, I describe that tsunami is coming. Uh-huh. At the beginning, the tsunami came out of the known.
But if people didn't listen to you before the crisis, wouldn't you be vindicated now because you were correct?
See,
so why not get elected?
The leaders of the most important parties could not speak
the whole truth to the voters.
Yeah.
So why
and
did you
imagine I was a candidate here in Crete mm-hmm. and I appeared to TV mm-hmm. At 2009, mm-hmm. and I quarreled even with my comrades. Mm-hmm. I was telling them, tsunami is coming.
Was already after the crisis of 2008.
I was writing about it mm-hmm. even 2 years earlier, because I have studied also economics, and I follow the whole life of.
Right.
With focus to economic problem, the financial problem. And do you know, the next day, some of my comrades in the same party went to George Papandreou, and mm-hmm. this is the son of Andreas Papandreou.
And he's involved in politics.
Yes, he was also the prime minister between 2009 and 2011.
So just to clarify for our listeners, between 2009 and 2011, the Prime Minister of Greece was the son of the former dictator who was in prison.
No, Papandreou.
Oh, Papandreou, okay.
Papandreou,
the
Papandreou,
son of the Prime Minister in the early 90s.
Papandreou was one of the most known leaders of Greece.
Okay. So Papadopoulos the son of the Prime Minister that you served in the 90s.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, got it.
And I have to tell you that they were telling him, oh, let's send him, in reference to me, let's send Antonis Gonzes out of our party because he's a provocateur. He's telling to the voters that tsunami is coming and this discourages people to come to PASOK.
Huh. So people, and again, PASOK is the political party of which you're a part. So you are part of this party, and you're finding that the leader of the party was trying to kick you out because they were saying that you were a doomsayer, and you were saying that there's going to be some crisis. But of course, a crisis did come to pass. It hit Greece hard.
Yeah.
Why were you not vindicated and then subsequently elected to parliament?
See,
didn't the people thank you for your foresight and say that you were good? Why not?
Please. The things are not so easy for the politicians that want to say the language of truth.
Mm-hmm.
No one remembers. No one remembers the words they have uttered. I have written, as I told you, I have written some books, and I have the articles or the essays that I published even in newspaper, telling, please.
What measures did you advocate the government to take that they did not take?
See, no more money to people.
Like social security payments, for instance.
See,
cash payments to elderly people?
See, that was not the problem. The problem was that public services are very expensive. And they want you to give more salaries. They were telling to the people, money, we do have money.
When you didn't. The public sector employees wanted salary increases, and there was no money to afford that.
See, I was candidate here in Crete.
Saying we don't want to increase your salary.
I was telling, decrease of salaries, of some salaries.
For public sector employees.
Yeah, and see, during the campaign, followers of my own party tried to kick me.
So you were trying to advocate for fiscal responsibility in a leftist government that was advocating for more money to the people.
Yeah.
Interesting. So what else did you... And then there also is a problem, is there not, with collecting taxes. Don't a significant portion of Greeks avoid paying taxes?
The majority.
Was that part of your platform, that they should actually pay taxes?
See, even my colleagues,
they don't pay taxes.
No.
Isn't that a definition of corruption?
See, it's not a problem of definition. It's a problem of obeying to law.
That's corrupt. Would you not say that?
Yeah, and...
So the politicians are getting paid salaries that they're not paying taxes on?
Yeah,
and they expect their voters to pay taxes on their salaries?
Not only that, but they encourage...
people to avoid people paying?
To spend, even without having the money. At that time, all banks were giving loans...
with low interest rates?
No, with interest rates, but without having, without completing the basic rules of bank...
risky loans.
Yeah. They did not pay attention to risk by giving loans.
Right.
Okay, you went to a bank and you were telling them, I want a loan.
Are you unemployed? They didn't ask.
They did not ask anything. They were giving loans, even to go for
vacation.
Remember the word vacations loans.
Really?
Yeah.
They had specific loans for vacations.
Yeah.
That no one would ever be able to pay back.
Or they were giving them a lot of money. To buy apartments, etc., or to build up new homes, expensive loans. But nowadays, no one is able to pay back
their loans. The economy collapsed. Why is it that the revenue collection service is not successful at taxing people?
There was corruption in that service. There was corruption.
So
and
people
still,
would pay...
And still there is.
They would pay the tax collectors and say, I'll give you this money for your pocket if you just don't collect the full taxes from me.
They are more easy and more complicated at the same time methods to escape from your
basic... Why are they not prosecuted in Greece? You're part of the European Union. Why
how to prove it? How to prove it? We have two persons. The officer and the citizen. They exchange dirty things. Who knows what they are doing?
So the citizens want corruption, and they want corrupt officials, and they will elect politicians who aren't corrupt so that they won't have to pay taxes, and they still want the services that would be paid for by the taxes that they're not paying. So they want the services, and they don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's the voters of Greece.
Yeah.
How do you work with that system?
It's very, very difficult. But see, now we do have a leftist party governing Greece. It's a coalition between ultra-rightists and ultra-leftists, the current government.
So what's the view?
They use the goal of prosecuting corruption, but not for the general good, but for their own
political advancement.
Yeah. So they want to create a new establishment, but establishment with new corrupted entrepreneurs. That's the problem of Greece.
So how do the Greek people feel about the European Union?
The majority is very, very positive. Of course, the austerity program lasts a lot of years.
But it was difficult to transition from the drachma to the euro, right?
Yeah. That was not the real problem. The real problem is how to establish the European institutions of a state of law, of a state with the rule of the law. And that has been proved as the most difficult thing in our recent history.
Aren't they finding that, for instance, Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, is trying to push reforms on Greece so that people would pay their taxes?
See,
and wouldn't they dislike that?
See, they would like to have a member state that is satisfying the basic rules of European Union, but their own programs are on a very mistaken basis.
How do you persist after all these decades of giving your life to try to advance the public interest for the people of Greece, for the country of Greece? Time and again, you've been punished. You're not in parliament, yet you have suffered in prison for your country. Many people in parliament, I'm sure, have not been in prison trying to advance their country. It seems as though you've taken a lot of hits for Greece, but you haven't necessarily been... I mean, you have been rewarded. You have been a cabinet secretary. You have... But you've not been rewarded with victory in an election. There must be some sense of rejection or frustration. How do you handle that I guess cognitive dissonance where you give so much, but to some extent the voters don't seem to appreciate and reward your service to the Greek state with an actual vote in the parliament?
See,
what do you tell yourself?
Yeah, I am not a Christian Democrat, but I am a Christian. The whole philosophy of my life is to fight. And fight and fight. So I'm not tired. I believe to the ideas I have already expressed to you, and I think the victory will come.
You expect to be elected?
Yeah. And according to polls, I'm going to be elected in the coming
in Athens.
No, here.
In Crete.
Yeah.
In Heraklion.
Yeah.
Which is the largest city in Crete.
In Heraklion, in eastern Crete.
Ah.
Let me not give you more details.
Yeah.
You must remember the word Crete.
Crete. There you go. Okay. Which is the largest island in Greece.
Yeah.
Okay, so we are approaching the end of the podcast, and I'd like to ask you a final question, Antonis, which is two-parted. Two parts. The first I'd like to ask is, I'd like you to speak to your Greek constituency, those Greeks who would fall in that district in eastern Crete, who you would wish to represent in the Greek parliament. I'd like you to speak to them on this podcast, and if they're listening, I'd like you to speak to them about why it is you have decided to fight for them, why you wish to continue to fight for them in the parliament, and finally, what you hope they would do to advance the public interest for Greece, and what your legacy and their legacy combined will be of all these years of service, what you hope will be the legacy of your effort of advancing the public interest for Greece.
See, I want us to have a modern economy with modern rules, with different roles for different people and different professions. But all of them must operate with modern rules. That is, I want more major infrastructure projects. That is, see, we are in Crete. We do not have a road system that might satisfy the modern needs for safe communication, for safe transportation, for safe transportation. Second, I want them to have an educational system that might comply to the needs of the economy. And third, I would encourage more money for research. And fourth, I would like to have a state organized on the rule of law. Sixth, I want us to have more close contact with the European Union. And very peaceful relationship to other nations. I would like us to take advantage of the experience and progress United States of America have achieved. Many Greeks have gone for postgraduate studies. They have gone to America. Mm-hmm. I would like all of them to return back. Mm-hmm. Yes, sure. And last but not least, I would like the creation of more jobs for the new generation. Greece at this time is quite hostile to the new generation. We must do something quite quickly, quite urgently, and at depth.
And that has been Antonis Vagontsis, a former senior advisor, legal advisor to Greek Prime Minister, Cabinet Secretary for Departments, so the Ministries of Health and Public Works, a current advisor to current Cabinet Secretaries, a former and current future candidate for the Greek Parliament representing the PASOK party, the Pan-Hellenic Socialist Movement, who speaks about modernizing Greek, about fighting throughout his life to advance the public interest for Greece and the Greek people due to, in accordance with a sense of values which may be defined as a respect for human rights, the rule of law. He articulates an 8-point platform on which he seeks to run in his campaign to promote infrastructure. Well, the first one is to promote the development of infrastructure, to develop improved education to meet the needs of the economy, create more funding for research of the sciences, ensure that Greeks abide by the rule of law. He advocates for responsibility, which is a bitter pill to take in a country where many individuals do not pay their fair share, yet seek to extract many social benefits from the federal government. He seeks to have an improved relationship with the European Union and other nations, to repatriate well-educated expats and to create a better economy for millennials, the younger generations born after 1980. He advocates for creating a Greece that essentially abides by the rule of law, is responsible, has a modern economy, can pay its fair share, and can deliver upon its promises to the Greek people. So, Antonis, I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
I would like to thank you, and I would like to tell you to emphasize that Greece is a Western nation.
This has been another episode of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. I'll remind you to subscribe on publicinterestpodcast.com and on iTunes. Leave a review of this podcast on iTunes and listen on Stitcher, SoundCloud, CastBox, Blueberry, Player FM, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Should you wish to comment on this episode, you're welcome to leave a voicemail at 240-630-0380. And the first 3 minutes of that voicemail may be played in future episodes of Public Interest Podcast. Should you wish to support the podcast, you're welcome to leave a contribution in an amount that you feel comfortable with at publicinterestpodcast.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.